Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Today's topic, how do you raise a musician? My guests today are Bob and Joni from Des Moines, Iowa, and their daughter, Sarah, is the voice, or one of the voices, of the Wellpennies. I wanted to share a great interview I had with her mom and dad when we discussed all things. Her parents have a great mindset and a wonderful perspective on raising kids, growing older, and having a family. Please enjoy this interview with them, as well as a little extra music from the Wellpennies. Well, there's a song arising, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. All right, so welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Today I am in the recording studio of the Wellpennies in their home in Des Moines, Iowa, with Bob and Joni Deaver, who is one of the co-founding members' parents. And I wanted to have a conversation with them to have a discussion about building empathy for parents whose children want to pursue things that might not exactly line up with what your vision of them was when they were little kids. And I think we're going to have a great conversation here today, and we're going to talk about a couple of things. So welcome to the podcast, Bob and Joni.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome. So the first question I have is, tell us a little bit about yourselves. And I do want to hear the great story of how you met.
Joni, go ahead. You tell your version.
Well, Bob and I both were raised in Des Moines our whole life, and I was working at the Dairy Suite, and he came up, and I waited on him, and he ordered a little 10-cent drink and gave me a dollar and said, keep the change. And he just was very persistent, and we happened to go to the same high school, and he, again, was very aggressive and persistent to try to get to know me, and I finally caved in and started dating him when I was 16. And we got married when I was 18 after graduation, and we've been together for 42 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And where has that journey kind of taken you, you know, with the growth of your family and your daughter? And tell us that whole, the whole family piece.
Well, after we got married, I was in the service at the time. I was finishing up a three-year stint there. We were living in Manhattan, Kansas, and that's when our son was born there. And then when I got out of the service, we came back to Des Moines, and that's when Sarah was born here in Des Moines. And since then, that journey's been very good. It's been a roller coaster like all of them, but it's been a good roller coaster.
And what branch of the service did you serve?
I was
what
in
did
the military. I was in the Army as a military police. So I was working the shift work and doing a lot of different things, and she was managing the home. And then when I got out, I came in to Des Moines, and I got on the Tulsa service and stayed there for 20 years. And then God called me into the ministry, and I've been pastoring for about 18 years.
That's wonderful. And thank you for your service.
Well, you're welcome.
That's wonderful. So is he a Jayhawk, and you know, and then she's a Hawkeye, or how does that work? Is there?
She's a bigger sports fan than I am.
Yeah. That's awesome.
But we're not really, we don't watch football or anything. Oh. I'll just check on the games every now and then just to see the scores, and he doesn't watch any football at all.
Well, we won't just talk about that. We're in the heart of Iowa, so that could get us all in trouble.
And it's a Cyclone, not a Jayhawk.
Oh, Cyclone, sorry. State, not...
Yeah.
All right. So your daughter, Sarah, is co-founder of the Wellpennies with Brian. Mm-hmm. And tell us a little bit about how she was as a kid. Like, is this something you could see in her as a child, or...
Sarah was kind of an introvert, so no, we didn't see her in entertainment at all. But she, when she was four, we gave her a little tiny piano, and she used to make up her own music. and it kind of sounded like Japanese music, but she'd write down her own notes, and she'd carry her piano to the neighbors and do little concerts, actually. So I should have seen it, but she was very shy, and
I think when it first came to light, we were on vacation, and I think it was in Branson or somewhere like that, and I can't remember exactly how old she was, but they had a recording studio there where you could walk in, and they would have a track, and then you could just play it. And I think it was Bette Midler's The Rose that she actually went into. We said, well, you ought to go try that. Now, mind you, we hadn't really heard a lot of what we thought was anything more than kids being interested in music and singing.
Sure.
So she went in and she played the track and came out, and it was like, I looked at Joni and we looked at each other like, okay, this is like, wow. And so at that point on, I think we really started realizing that we needed to develop this, because there's a gift that's given. We exploit that gift, not what we would want. So we went from there, and it just proceeded on down the road with different piano lessons, voice lessons, and such for her.
Do you still have that tape?
Yes.
Awesome. How often does that get played?
Well, it's a cassette, so
right. No. Oh, around here, I'm thinking that technology exists somewhere. Brian's got to have a tape player that he can put onto an MP3, and that should be on the Wellpennies website.
Yeah.
That's pretty neat, because, you know, that you recognize that, because there's a lot of people who, you know, and at that time, you can go to any amusement park and they have a little recording booth, and, you know, I have a great version of a Duran Duran song that my buddies and I did at Great America and outside of Chicago. But to have the foresight to see that there's a gift there within your daughter, and then help her kind of grow that. What are the other things that you did for her or with her to help her grow in that music? Lessons and things like that?
Well, we did that, but we also tried to at least engage it in the home with music. I play 3 chords on the guitar, not well.
Yeah, well, that's okay. That's 3 more than me.
And she would play the piano, and I think Joni would try to sing along, and I think at one time our son was trying to play the drums or something. But we would, you know, play along in the house and just have fun. I don't sing at all. I'm a horrible singer. I can't remember the chords. But a funny story, so she would have to write out the chords to the song, and then she would put them on the music stand for me to play.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes I would still mess it up and not hit the right chord, and she would come over and, it's a D right here.
It's a D.
So she started orchestrating us and telling us, and so we could see more of the leadership there coming out, and understanding that she had probably a broader vision than what we would understand. So we started looking at not just the abilities, but what maybe longer term.
And I mean, again, I'm envisioning this like in the living room and everybody having fun. And what did you do, Joni? Were you the audience? Were you singing?
I would sing along. Bob and I are not musical at all. Or I'd be videotaping the process.
Or dancing.
Yeah, whatever. But Sarah always had a natural ability, even on the piano. Before she even took lessons, she could pluck out songs without knowing how to read music. And in the process of trying to find a piano teacher, the one I found, she said, I don't just take any student. I have to take somebody that truly has a passion for the piano. And I said, well, I know I'm a mom, but I see a lot of ability in Sarah, and just check her out and see. I don't know if I'm being a little partial, but after she spent that first 30 minutes with her, she goes, no, you're right. She has a very strong natural ability. So she's just, it's always been there.
But I think you point out a really unique moment there, because as parents, I think our job is to balance that blind advocacy, but then passionate advocacy of no, you don't get to tell me that. I had a similar situation. My daughter Grace, who's a seventh grader, when she got to middle school, they could join band or choir, and she said, I want to be in the band and I want to play the drums. And the band teacher said, well, we only allow kids who play the piano to play the drums. And I was like, oh, I'm really sorry, I didn't know that was a rule. Gracie doesn't play the piano, but Grace will play the drums. And she was like, no, I don't think you understand. And it was one of those like Papa Bear moments where I thought, no, I don't think you understand. You know, like, I'm an education person. I know that rule is in your head and it's not written down anywhere. Gracie plays the drums now. And it was one of those points like you where, no, this is my kid's interest and I got to let her have this shot. And if I don't let her have this shot, I don't want her to grow up without that. Because sometimes I believe you can miss your gift if there aren't people that are advocating for you. So fast forward a little bit, middle school, high school, you guys have her, I mean, she goes to school here in Des Moines, and music starts to grow. What was that like for you guys? Was that a million concerts and flat seats in the bleachers kind of thing? And
yes, yes. And she was also involved in drama, and she was very active in the church. And from that, she got to start singing at church. And I think that helped her a lot. But through school, the school she attended was very strong on music, and she excelled.
Well, I think another component of that is the creativity, and excuse me, she had a lot of creativity behind the music. So for example, in the drama that Joni's referring to, she would actually take and make up movements to the words and sort of dramatize it, if you will.
Yeah, choreograph it.
Yeah. And so there was a little bit of understanding there. There was some creativity behind it that would develop it even that much further.
Neat. So I'm just going to fast forward to a point where one of the pieces I really want to do today is build empathy again for parents. So she graduates from high school and heads out east, right? That's
right.
That's where she goes, and she's working, if I'm not mistaken, like a coffee shop kind of piece, and that's where Mr. Brian kind of shows up. And what was the phone call like of, you know, and I'm simplifying it, but hey, I'm kind of fell for this musician guy, and I think we're going to do music, and we're going to go from there. Like, as a parent, and I've spoken on the other podcasts, you know, I've got preconceived notions, like, you know, my son Charlie's going to be a professional soccer player, and then when he's done with that, he's going to be a doctor, and then when he's done with that, he's going to retire and take care of me, you know. But kids have their own path and their own right. So what were your kind of, tell us that story of that kind of evolution and where you were as parents. And
you know, root word for parent is gardener. And you, as a gardener, have to look at what is the end product going to be. And so you pull the weeds, they just naturally sort of grow, and but you have to fertilize and cultivate. So we always looked at, in that end product as a gardener, what's the best to make this for her and what God has given her to do. So a parent really needs to focus on looking at it more than just one aspect of parenting. You got to look at, am I being a good gardener first? Am I doing the very best I can help to raise a produce that's going to be very good? So for her going out there, it was obviously scary, a lot of uncertainty. As a dad especially, you never stop worrying and caring for him. So it created an opportunity for us to just have to learn to say, we've done our part. We've done well. Now we have to just pray for her and support her and help where we can.
So while he's farming, are you worrying like crazy? Because that's a wonderful metaphor. Yeah. That's going to be a podcast. But
for Sarah, it's bittersweet. My role as a mom was to develop her, to help mold her into being a successful adult, and she had achieved that. But you miss her, and I trusted her in her decisions, but it is bittersweet. You miss seeing her on a regular basis and just spending time with her.
I want to touch on this again, because those are really good points. So there are a lot of younger parents in the audience who are, you know, their kids are going to be juniors and seniors in high school, go off to college, and you know, they're my age, mid to late 40s, and they're worrying about everything. Like, how do you manage that? You know, first she's on the East Coast, then she's on the West Coast, then she's all over the place with Brian. They're doing stuff like, you know, I don't sleep at night thinking about my seventh grade daughter down the hall, and she's got, you know, a science test the next day. How do you grow? How do you keep managing that? And how do you cope?
I think there's a lot of strength in the relationship that the parents have, you know, obviously, and the relationship they have with their kids. And so if you stay in contact with them, you sort of see things and you just trust that those are the good things. And so you just encourage them along whatever level or whatever stage you're in. And being mindful that you're not ever letting go. You're just now helping them to go forward in what God has given them to do. So it's a thing of just learning how to let go, and trust is critical.
And what kind of stories in your head prove to be so false that, you know, like, it's just moms and dads of the world don't even worry about that kind of stuff?
Well, you never stop worrying.
Right, right.
I think keeping up the communication, knowing that she could rely on us if, you know, if there was a problem, I trusted that she would share that. I think that was the biggest thing, is I kept in contact with her on a regular basis. How are you doing? What's going on in your life? And just try to be a good listener and let her vent or whatever she needed.
And what advice do you have for parents whose kids want to kind of follow this path? So, you know, like I've kind of implied a few times, there are younger parents, or a lot of parents have a preconceived path for their children. Mm-hmm. And I love the gardening metaphor. And, you know, what would you say to the, you know, parent of a 19 or 20-year-old who went to college to go do something or left the house to go pursue a dream? Mm-hmm. You know, share your wisdom on that journey.
Here's what I often tell parents, is that life is, it's a balance. And as a parent, you got to have a healthy understanding and a value and worth in yourself, because a lot of times parents will try to relive their perceived misfortune or what they would think they missed out through their kids. And I think a lot of times parents think they're doing the best for their kids, trying to give them that direction that they think how they experienced life, if they would just do different than what I did, or mm-hmm. maybe if you would do what I didn't do, life would be that much better for you. So a lot of times parents are not realizing it, but they're looking at their own worth, their own value, what people would think of them or what they may not think of them. And sometimes they can probably maybe encourage their kids to move one way more than they probably should towards what they would want, as opposed to the abilities and the gifts and the way that they would go themselves. So I think a parent has to reconcile and be honest with themselves and saying, am I really doing this for the betterment of them, or am I bleeding my own personal life in here a little bit and not really looking at all those other things?
And I very much agree with that, because as a school person, I've always kind of advised parents to remember two things. One is that if you expect other people to change their behavior, you first have to change your own. So I have to wipe away my biases. I have to stop trying to project myself on them and know that they're not going to be me. But then the second piece, Joni, that I wanted you to touch on a little bit is the simple fact that, you know, when that world is evolving in front of you as a mom, like, what now is the guidance level with the adult child of, you know, like you said, you just kind of step back and you walk away. But, you know, like when she's in L.A., or, you know, they're touring, like this summer, they're touring, you know, with an international mm-hmm. star. Like, what are you saying? What are you thinking?
I was excited for her. I was excited even, that's why it was bittersweet, because this was her dream and she was pursuing it. And you're excited for them that they're fulfilling their dream. And I believe in her. I believe that she could accomplish that, and she did. Again, you miss them, mm-hmm. but you have to step back and let them go. That's the role of the parent as well, is you have to let them go, but you don't walk away from a relationship. You still maintain that.
And you reinforce the pieces exactly. and support them and wherever they are in that exactly. spot and where they go.
Alone on the other. either side of the room. But you seem like the only one there, just watching the world unaware. And I hope you notice me.
So tell us a little bit about the long-haired guitar player that rolls into her life from out east, you know, the big city guy who comes in and you know, because I love the saying, you know, you get, I have always heard or joked with my kids that we appreciate you picking us when you had the opportunity to pick us as your parents, as angels flying around, you chose us. And I always say, now be careful who you choose to come into my life next. So how's that process where, you know, the boy and then the band and the marriage and all that stuff? I mean, what's that whole process as a parent like as well? Because this is kind of the rock star kind of life, and it's a little different than, you know, if she'd have married an actuary and, you know, lived in the suburbs and that kind of stuff. So what's that like?
Well, as a dad, you're looking at it under our roof. You're under our advice and our support and our care and our protection. So you want to make sure that you're trusting that person that's going to take over for you, and that was a critical factor in looking at that. If that's settled and the care is there and the protection and the love and the nurturing, does it really matter what they do? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And where guys, we tend to focus on achieving things. Women, they tend to focus on the relationship side of things. So if you can find somebody that can do both, well, you got a good handle on it. And I think Brian's great at that.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted somebody that would love her and adore her like we do.
Wow. You guys are awesome. I'm going to guess they're probably crying or hugging out there. So at least I would be. So, last question for you. What have been some of your biggest surprises on the journey of their career and kind of where it's taken them and the successes that they found?
I think my biggest surprise is they moved back to Des Moines. I never thought that was going to happen. And this has been a huge blessing to see them. They're thriving in Des Moines and they're successful. I always thought they had to stay out in L.A., so when she had called me and said, "Don't get your hopes up, Mom, but we're thinking about moving to Des Moines."
Well, that's a teaser right there, though.
I didn't get my hopes up. I thought, it's not going to happen. And I think that's the biggest surprise and the biggest blessing to have them near us. The downfall is they're still 20 minutes away. I wanted them in our neighborhood.
So. Back in her room in the basement.
Yes,
yeah. 20 minutes, though, opposed to 2 days of travel.
Exactly.
What a great problem.
See, this is a good thing about technology, right? You can be anywhere and do something. Mm-hmm. So this is good for them. And I think I look back and I say, hey, we did well. Look at that watermelon. Look at that tomato. You know, it's bloomed. It's blossomed. Now, a farmer can look back and say, it's a good season. So now it's a matter of just continuing to be an encouragement and nurture them as they continue to develop and move on.
So I don't know if you two remember the first time I met you, but we were in West Bend, Wisconsin when I was superintendent there, and we brought the whole Well Pennies band came and played with our youth orchestra, and I sought you two out. And I don't know if you recall what I said to you, but I do, because I wanted to find you two and just tell you how proud I was of your daughter. And, you know, there's two things you should consider here. One is you don't come back to Des Moines. You come back to your family. And when I met the two of you, I was so impressed because I'd spent the whole day with Brian and Sarah and the band, and we were in Milwaukee and we were doing junkets, and then we had lunch, and then they came back, and they had given so much of their time to demonstrating to other kids the power of music. And I mean I totally abused them. I drove them all these schools and these little kids, and all these people were like, "Oh, we met rock stars today." But when it was all over, they were very humble and very grateful. And that only comes from one place, and that's you guys. Mm-hmm. And like you said, the farming analogy is just wonderful. I'm going to use that the rest of my life. But to also hear that, you know, your 90-cent tip back at the, what was it called? The
Dairy Suite,
you know, leads to all of this kind of neat mm-hmm. stuff. And here we are right before the holidays. Sarah's got this place, looks like a like a old Gimbel's or Boston store kind of. It's just beautiful. And we're talking about their success from your work and your efforts and investment in them. So any other last pieces of advice for parents or thoughts as they move forward? Because where I want to end it is, where do you see this all going?
You want to respond first?
Well, I think just finding their talent, their skill, and embracing it and accepting it, and train them in the way that they should go with that. I think that's the first start, is if you can find that in them. That's a huge blessing, because it's a God-given talent. And for Sarah, it truly was, because we're not musical. And I've always thought, God gave you this, so see this blessing that you have and honor God through that music.
I think what I would just tell people is let go. Just let go of some of your worries, your fears, your concerns. Trust a little more in them. Build that relationship with them. Make sure you maintain that relationship with them. And I think it will ebb and flow, and eventually you'll both see, parents and children will both see that you're on the same path.
Well, thank you two very much for joining me today on the Smart Thinking Podcast. And I would end by saying that I think God's gift to the Wellpennies is you two and your ability to let go, be supportive, and grow some pretty cool people. So thank you two very much.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
That was fun.
Every color's fading, everyone is waiting on, on. Well, there's a song arising, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. Every color's faded, everyone is waiting on, on. There's a song arising, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? There's a song arising, just you wait and see. Won't you take